So today is the day that the Lao community offers food. So they're usually used to coming at 10:30 to offer the food. We'll still have a meal at 11:30. But you just might contemplate that I was doing metta practice with Supong here. I was spreading metta to you all. I said I was spreading metta to you. I hope you felt it. But the Supong and his family have been supporting myself and the monastery since 1985, I guess. So every Sunday. And same with Burmese friends and Sri Lankan and Cambodian and Thai friends. So imagine the beautiful connection one has around that. And so just that practice of, like I said, Supong, may you be well. I'm really happy to see him in the robe. He's got permission from the family, which you need as a monk, to become a bhikkhu. But that natural connection that I have to Supong, which we all have to someone, you enhance that by just making it conscious. That's all we're doing, really. So I bring him up into consciousness, use the breath in, out. What could be nicer? So it's not so much like sometimes people in practice of metta are trying to manufacture some kind of incredible, blissful heart state. And that's a form of greed. I want to get some kind of experience. But just the natural openness of heart which we have when we feel gratitude, when we feel generosity, when we feel friendship, it's just very, very natural. And that's what we're just touching, that natural way of being in life, where the heart is open rather than caught up. Now it's also natural not to be open. And there's nothing unnatural about being closed-hearted and frightened and angry. And so obviously if we can encourage the open-hearted attitudes, then they become a strength, a power, really a power, not a weakness. So with Ajahn Chah, he's a tremendously compassionate being, tremendously compassionate and fearless. And that gave him great power. Oddly enough, sometimes people think that metta practice is some kind of a doormat practice where you just are kind of subservient or something like that, but it's not. It's a natural strength of the heart. Whereas if you look at anger and fear, they're not strengths, they're weaknesses. They don't give you confidence. They don't give you a sense of security in the world. So the more we can enhance that natural tendency, the more that manifests then around the negative things. So the more I can say, may I be free from suffering, and feel that wholeheartedly, then when suffering does come up as fear, anger, annoyance, I can say, oh, may I be free from annoyance, rather than think I shouldn't be annoyed. May I be free from fear, rather than believe in the fear and run with it. So it's a very, I think, very important part of the spiritual life is to understand what the open heart is. And personally, I just find it a good place to allow my attention to rest with. So in conversing with people, I find that when my attention just isn't thought and in the critical faculty, that can be useful sometimes. But if I'm with people, just all the time, with nature, I allow my attention to abide from here, then I'm relating from this place. And I find that very, very much more, what do I find? I find it much more connected, I think, to life in general. It's a craft. You need to have experiments, see how it works. But it's a huge part, I think, of a Buddhist practice. So you just, as we are receiving the meal today, later on, just kind of think of these good people who have been coming and supporting this place for so long, and just as you're standing looking at them, just let your attention go to the heart and say thank you. Just go to each person, thank you. You don't have to go up to them and hug them. They'd get confused. But you can. So you use a situation which is naturally very beautiful, isn't it? Dana. People come and they offer us food, and here we are meditating. And I mean, it's kind of wonderful part of our tradition. So like, kind of you're there, you could be looking, I want that career. Or you can say, you can look at the people and say, oh, thank you. And you just kind of go through each person, and then what's the result is gratitude. And obviously that gratitude if you enter into the practice of meditation from an open heart, it's I think very, very important, because sometimes meditation or just the Buddhist practices of contemplation can seem like endless self-development or kind of working on myself or working on my problems, and that's really boring. Isn't it? You know, kind of trying to be a better person. You know, Buddhism, we're not so much trying to be a better person, we're trying to go the sense of no person. This is a bit weird. So if you're trying to be, if you think you're someone now who has to become a better person later, then that's what we call avijja, or still self-view, or sakkaya ditti. But if you just can just know, oh, this is a feeling of wanting to be someone else, that's suffering. That's suffering, and just feel, oh, this is what suffering feels like, may I be free from that, then you're in the moment again, with the open heart. And that's not a sense of becoming, that's more being with the way things are. So we could do some walking practice. So maybe the same pattern as yesterday, that seemed to work well. If Ian can ring the bell in 45 minutes, and then there'll be a subsequent bell for the meal. Again, with the walking practice, just to remind you, try to use the ends of the path to come to the sense of awakening, come to no thought, come to the open heart if you want. Keep planting that seed of presence. Just keep breaking up the thought patterns of past and future. Not to get rid of them, just see them as just thought patterns, emotions. And again, if the mind gets quite obsessed with some kind of thought pattern, then stop and deliberately let that come up, make it conscious, feel it in the body. Walk back and forth. All right? Okay.